Won't you stand for the reading of our scripture coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 16, reading verses 1 through 13 from the New Living Translation. And for most of us, it's not an unfamiliar passage of scripture. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me." Abram replied, "Look, she is your servant, so deal with her as you see fit." Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. The angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." Then he added, "I will give you more descendants than you can count." And the angel also said, "You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears, for the Lord has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives." Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord, who had spoken to her. She said, "You are the God who sees me." She also said, "Have I truly seen the one who sees me? This is the word of God." Amen. You may be seated. I want to put a tag on this morning. I want to speak from the thought, "He sees you." He sees you. There's something in our human nature, there's something in our DNA that makes us want to be seen. We're born that way. How do I know? Because we see it in children all the time. What mother hasn't heard the words, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, mommy," or "Mommy, look at me," 20 times in a day? And that need to be seen doesn't go away when we grow up either. Oh no, no, we see it in adolescence, we see it in teens, we see it in adults. We spend an inordinate amount of time trying to get people to look at us, to just pay us some attention. Don't believe me? Just look at the popularity of social media. Look at the popularity of social media. It's not just young folk on social media. I see y'all on there posting all kinds of pictures of yourself, putting up interesting videos of what you're doing at parties on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. We call it sharing. But what social media really does, And the reason why it's so popular is that it gives us the ability to satisfy that need to be seen. On Facebook, you can like people's stuff, hate people's stuff, comment on people's stuff, and it's the feedback that we want. We want to be seen. And we want to know that we're seen. And we want a response. Now, in my former life, in my former life, I was a small claims court judge. And I was absolutely fascinated by the things that people would come to court for. Small claims court takes place at night. So people would get off work, tired, but they come to court and sometimes wait as long as 2 hours to be seen and for their case to be heard. And it was my experience that more often than not, the amount that they were suing for was less than the amount it cost to file the case in the first place. Initially, I thought, how dumb is that? You're coming to court to lose money. But what I learned after years of seeing these people and listening to these people was that they weren't really all that interested in the outcome. Most of them didn't care about the verdict. They didn't really care about winning. What they wanted was to be seen and to be heard. They wanted someone to acknowledge that something happened to them that hurt them or bothered them. They wanted someone to acknowledge that they'd been wrong. They just wanted to be heard, and more than that, to be seen. Why? Because so many of us feel invisible. Many of you mothers know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, today is Mother's Day, and it's all good. But tomorrow, many of you will go back to feeling unseen. You hurt, and you wonder, don't you see my hurt? You're in pain, and you wonder, don't y'all see my pain? Sometimes you're so tired that your steps literally get shorter, and yet the world keeps moving and people keep demanding things from you, and you wonder, can't y'all give me a break? Can't you see how absolutely tired I am? I stopped by to let you know this afternoon that you may be invisible to people sometimes, but you're never invisible to God. You're never invisible to God. God sees you in whatever circumstances you're in. And the thing I love about our God is that when he sees you in his graciousness, he can't help but respond to you. In the passage of scripture I just read, we have the story of two women, two mothers whose lives are forever intertwined. All because one of them decided to do things their way and not God's way. Sarai, or Sarah, as she later be named, was a woman who desperately wanted a child. She was like a lot of women today. She did the right thing and got married. She wanted children, but she had none. She wanted them all her life, but at age 80, she was still childless. For you who are listening to me, your heart's desire may not be a child. It may be wanting a career, or wanting a degree, or wanting a life partner, some unfulfilled want in your life that you've been praying about for years and your prayer has not been answered, and you're feeling desperate. But take my advice, don't make Sarai's mistake. Don't make Sarah's mistake. Sarah wanted a child and she had none. So what did she do? She did it her way. She decided she's not going to wait on God any longer. She followed the norms of the culture where she lived instead of following God. In Middle Eastern culture, when a woman couldn't have a child of her own, she would give her handmaid or servant to her husband And that woman was forced to have a child for her. It was forced surrogacy. And the child that was born would be handed over at birth. But here's the problem. God reserved sex and procreation for a man and his wife. Hello, somebody. God reserved sex and procreation for a man and his wife. God, who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, took chaos, put it in order, and created a beautiful world. Then he created a man. And after he created a man, he pronounced his creation very good. Then he took what was very good and made it better by making a woman. Yeah, he made it better by making a woman. Ladies, don't let nobody ever tell you any differently. We made everything better. Amen, somebody. God united that man and that woman in the bonds of holy matrimony, and then he said, be fruitful and multiply. Our God is a God of order. Our God is a God of standards. He says, come together, marry, make me your center, and then have children. One husband, one wife, children. That's the order, that's God's way, that's God's design, whether we like it or not, that's the way God set it up. But Sarah and her husband Abraham decided to do it their way. Instead of following God's good plan, they adopted the practices and standards of the people around them. I need to ask you this afternoon, are you following God's plan? Or are you being influenced by the people around you? Don't make Sarah and Abraham's mistake. God told Abraham that he and Sarah would have a son. But God moved too slow. So they took matters into their own hands. Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham and forced Hagar to have his child. Hagar got pregnant just as planned, but then things went awry. Because nothing good can ever come out of doing things our way when our way is contrary to the will of God. Don't make Sarah and Abraham's mistake. Wait on God. Hagar got real full of herself. Started disrespecting Sarah. Sarah became real unhappy about this whole mess. Dealt with Hagar harshly. Listen. We've all felt like Sarah. And we've all taken matters into our own hands at one time or another. Don't look at nobody. You know it's true. We have taken things into our own hands at some time or another. And then after we did whatever it was we did, we found ourselves asking the question, why? Oh, why did I do that? That's what happens when we follow our plan and it's not God's plan. You can't manipulate God. You can't make God do nothing. You can't make God move faster than God's gonna move. You can't do it. You ever think about the times you moved ahead of God? Times when you did what God told you not to do for what you thought were pretty good reasons. You ever wonder how much pain you could have avoided? You ever wonder how much time you could have avoided wasting? How many gray hairs you could have saved? What your life would have been like if you had just done it God's way? You ever think about what this world would be like if everybody just did what God said to do? No wars, no fights, no divorce, no bankruptcy, no children without mothers or without fathers in their lives. Well, that's never going to happen this side of Jordan. That's going to have to wait for Jesus to come back and set things right. But in the meantime, in between time, rest assured, in the midst of all the mess, even the mess that you create for yourself, God sees you. He sees your pain. He sees your heartache. He sees your sorrow. He sees your circumstance. You are not invisible to God. God sees you, and in seeing you, he will respond. Sarah should have just waited on the Lord and trusted him. We need to take a lesson from this story. Anything that God doesn't want for you, you really don't want for yourself. I don't care what it is, how wonderful you think it will be. If it's not what God has for you, you don't want it. Ask God for what you want and accept only what God gives you. Sarah's unhappy. She's angry. She's feeling disrespected. So Sarah does what we women do when we get the upper hand. Sarah tortures Hagar. And then Hagar does what we do when there's a problem. When something happens that we can't handle, when things don't go our way, she runs away. But then God goes into action, y'all, and does what God does. He comes to us. The text says that the angel of the Lord found Hagar in the wilderness. Now, I don't like the word found, because it suggests that God lost sight of Hagar. But we know that God never loses sight of anybody. God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's everywhere at the same time, and he knows everything that there is to be known, and so he always knows where we are. The angel of the Lord, who was God himself in visible form, didn't find her. He sought her. Because he is a good God. Just as Jesus seeks us when we're in the wilderness, because he came to seek and save what was lost, God sought Hagar in the wilderness. God showed up where she was. We serve a good God. We serve an amazing God. Our God always comes and meets us where we are, especially when, like Hagar, we are lost and alone and in a mess. Yeah. Yeah. When we're sick, God shows up. Yeah. When we're in mourning, yeah, God shows up. Yeah. When we're broke, God shows up. Yeah. When we're stressed, depressed, oppressed, repressed, or distressed, God shows up and meets us where we are and gives us what we need. This was a mess. And as with almost all messes, it was created because people decided that they knew better than God and decided to do it their way. What God wants you to know today is that even in the midst of mess, he sees you. When God sees you, God in his graciousness can't help but respond. Hagar's out in the middle of nowhere. She's in despair. Hopeless, weary, alone, rejected, cast out after being used, feeling that no one cares, no one understands, but God saw her. Hagar ran away from Sarah, but she couldn't outrun God. And you can't either. She's out there in the wilderness with her pregnant self, and God shows up and he calls her by name. This foreigner, this outcast, this slave, God called her by name. He says, Hagar, where'd you come from and where are you going? As if he didn't know. God knew, but he invites her to pour her heart out because he wants her to know that he sees her. He wants Hagar to know that he cares enough to listen and to respond. But because that's what Hagar needs more than anything else. Hagar tells her story, but she doesn't say where she's going because she doesn't know. She has no plan. She's in the wilderness with no plan. She's pregnant with no plan. She's destitute with no plan. God told Hagar to go back to the situation that she was running from. Because God won't let you leave a situation unresolved. Hear me, somebody. God won't let you leave a situation unresolved. God won't let you leave a situation until you learn something from it. When you create a bad situation, he won't let you leave it till you fixed it. And only once you've resolved it, learned from it, or fixed it, will he release you from it. What have you left that you need to go back to and resolve so that your life can get back on track? What are you trying to leave this morning? And God is saying, stay there because it's not time. And if you leave, you'll not go forward in your life. God looked at Hagar. He looked at her situation. And he told Hagar to go back and learn to submit. God says, I got you, Hagar. Get out of the wilderness. You don't belong here. I'm working things out. Don't move till I tell you. Notice this. Hagar doesn't react to the content of God's message. She's not moved when God tells her she's going to have a son. She's not moved when God promises her descendants. She's not moved when God tells her that her son is going to be a wild man. She's not even moved when God tells her to go back into that situation she ran from. None of this moves her. But she's moved by the fact that God saw her. That's what worked for her. Just like those folk in small claims court, she's not concerned about the verdict. She doesn't seem to care about God's answer. She's just delighted because God called her by name. And he saw her. In her excitement, she does what no other character in the Bible does. She gives God a name. El Roi, the God who sees me. Hagar knows that she can't go back and that she can deal with whatever comes because God has shown that he cares and that he's got her back. You, my brothers and sisters, can go back. Resolve those old situations you left up in the air. And mend those old relationships that you left before healing took place. And you can go back and be the mother that God called you to be that you haven't been in the past. You can go back and know, just like Hagar knew, that God sees you. And in seeing you, he will respond and give you what you need. Today is Mother's Day. Today we celebrate motherhood. But I'm mindful of the fact that I'm talking to all kind of folk this afternoon.
That's right. That's right.
There are mothers who are like Hannah. You got it right. You got married. You had children. You were the kind of mother God called you to be. You nurtured your children, bandaged boo-boos, went to all the awful concerts and dance recitals and games and plays. You were there. You stayed up all night when they were sick, comforted them when they needed a friend. You ate only after they'd eaten, didn't buy new clothes so they could be well-dressed, didn't take a vacation so they would have a home to come to. You prayed for them, brought them to church, and allowed God to work in them. You made untold, unacknowledged sacrifices. Your children turned out well, or they didn't turn out the way you wanted to. You have a great relationship with them, or you don't have a great relationship with them, but you are a Proverbs 31 virtuous woman. We honor you this afternoon, and whether the nest is empty or whether the nest is full, you need to know that God sees you, and in seeing you, he will respond. There are mothers who didn't do it God's way. You moved ahead of God just like Sarah, and you had a child out of wedlock. Single mother, I want you to know this morning that God has not gone blind. He sees and he knows. God knows what you and your children need. The circumstances you're in. He sees you out there in the desert all alone with no one to provide for you, no one to protect you, and he's not unaware of what's going on. You may be in a far from ideal situation, but you need to know this morning, you serve an ideal God. You've got a God who will be a husband to you and a father to your baby. He will may be, no matter what your need, God says, I see you. And in seeing you, he will respond. God will take care of you, single mother. I'm thinking about the mothers out there like Jochebed, Moses' mother, and mothers like Pharaoh's daughter. Two women forever linked and yet so separate. Baby Moses was born, but literally had to be sent down the river. Pharaoh's daughter pulled him out of the water and got Jochebed to nurse him. One gave up her child to save her child, and one took in a child despite the risk. I'm thinking of all the women who've given up their children in the hope of a better life for them, and I'm remembering every woman who has made family through adoption, who has taken in a child, not her own, because bone of bone is not always how a family's made. Mothers who gave up their children for their own good, and mothers through adoption that some insist are not legitimate moms. Happy Mother's Day to you. I want you to know that God sees you and he will respond. I'm thinking about mothers like Mary, the mother of Jesus, and mothers like Naomi, and mothers like the unnamed wife of Job. Mothers who changed diapers, soothed their babies as they teethed, taught them to walk, taught them to talk, cleaned up their skin needs. Mothers that cooked their meals and washed their clothes and did all the things that moms do for their children and then had to watch them die. I want you to know this morning, God sees you and in seeing you, he will respond. I'm thinking about the mothers whose babies died in utero for whatever reason and who only have babies in heaven. Don't let anybody tell you you're nobody's mom. God sees you, and in seeing you, he will respond. I'm thinking about women who want children but can't have them, and women who didn't have children because they chose to do it God's way, and they've never been blessed to marry. Hang on in there, potential mother. Your blessing may be right around the corner. Don't give up, because God sees you. And advice, who have sleepless nights when that child is sick and they're too far away to do anything. We honor you today. Hang on in there. God sees you, and in seeing you, he will respond. I'm thinking about imperfect, guilt-ridden mothers who know that they could have been and should have been better mothers. There is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Hang on in there, mother. God sees you, and in seeing you, he will respond. I'm thinking about fathers who operate as mothers by choice or out of necessity that the world never gives any credit to. We honor you today, and I want you to know that God sees you, and in seeing you, he will respond. And I'm thinking about children this afternoon. Children who are facing this day, this Mother's Day, without their mother. I want you to know, God sees you, and in seeing you, he will respond. Mothers everywhere, mothers of whatever stripe or type, I want you to know that God sees you. He doesn't just see your exterior. He doesn't just see your situation. He sees inside your heart. He sees the things you do that no one else sees. He sees your longings. He sees your desires. He sees your hopes. He sees your dreams. He sees your ups and he sees your downs. He sees you when you're on the rough side of the mountain. He sees you when you're in the valley. He sees you when you're sick and keep going. When you're down and keep doing. When you're broken, keep giving. When you're depressed and keep moving. When you're confused and keep trying. When you're tired and keep standing. He sees you and he honors your sacrifices. You're not invisible to God. He sees you, and in seeing you, he not only will respond, but he has responded. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Genesis 28:15 says, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever your sleep, you can call him up. You can call him up anytime. Don't be afraid to call him up. When you need God's power, call Elohim, God. When you need his divine presence, call Yahweh, the Lord. When you need someone bigger than your situation, call El Elyon, the Most High God. When you need a great provider, call Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. When you need a helper who really can help, call Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. When you need peace of mind, call Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. When you need a great protector, call Yahweh Sabaoth, God is our Savior. When you need a God of righteousness, call Jehovah Shekinu, God is our righteousness. And when you need a strong God, a mighty God, a God who's mighty in battle, call El Shaddai, God Almighty. And when you need someone to look at you and acknowledge you and respond to you, call El Rohi, the God who sees you. When you need a perfect Savior, call Jesus.
Christ died for us.
Here's the good news. He's still looking. still seeking. He's still seeking. He's still saving. Give God praise.